Welcome to our series on parenting conversations. With a firm understanding at King's that with families and school collaborating together in an essential partnership, our boys and girls are best supported in their holistic development and well-being. This is so what it's all about. I am Belinda Baxter, Deputy Head Students and Community at our prep school. Being a parent is one of the most challenging and rewarding of roles. Allow us to assist you as you navigate this journey. Please join me and Dr. David Hegarty over the next six episodes as we broaden your understanding of matters such as self-care, expectations, routines, boundaries, balance, screen time and ICT, discipline, uncertainty, stress, and of course, joy and satisfaction. David, our prep school counsellor, is highly qualified with several degrees, including a PhD, psychology, primary teaching, health science, and most importantly, as a father to two young children. Your feedback and comment for our future series is highly regarded. Please email me. Finally, God bless you in your parenting, and God bless your beautiful children.
Welcome to the first of our parenting conversation series. Today, I want to talk to you about self-care as a parent. Now, you might think that this is an unusual topic to start with. However, I think it's critical for our parenting. And so that's why I want to cover this first. It's well known within the caring professions that you must take care of yourself before you can take care of others. If we don't take care of ourselves, we risk parenting less effectively, and additionally, we need to model good self-care for our children. Parenting researchers have found that a parent's ability to make sense of their own internal world, so their own mental state, plays a crucial role in helping their child to develop their own self-regulation skills. So it's the parent's capacity to tolerate and regulate their own internal, affective or emotional experience that allows them to tolerate and regulate these experiences in their child. Now, sometimes parents might think that they should put their children first and they put off self-care. And we may think this is a noble thought, but counterintuitively, it might not be in the best interests of their child to do so. This can especially be the case when there's something stressful going on. We tend to go into that protective parent mode. However, it's at times like this when self-care is the most important. If you don't manage your own emotions and well-being through self-care, then you risk running out of your own stores of energy and of tolerance. So when there's something stressful or some perceived threat, we need to be especially careful regarding self-care. Self-care is about being the best version of ourselves. If we're not the best version of ourselves that we can be, then we're not going to be the best parents we can be. But be careful here. This is not about being a perfect parent. I don't think such people exist. We all have bad days. We all do things we regret, say things we regret. This is about being aware of how we're feeling and then making space to take care of ourselves if we need it, so we can do the best for ourselves and the ones we love. So I've outlined why it's important to take care of ourselves. It helps us be better parents and model self-regulation and self-care for our children. So let's start to look at some simple steps we can take to actually practice self-care. The first step in the self-care process is to ensure we recognise what is within our control and what isn't. We refer to this as locus of control. Some people view the world as being out of their control. Things happen to them and there's nothing they can do about it. We refer to this as having an external locus of control. Control is outside of myself. Alternatively, some people see the world as well within their control. They see many aspects of themselves and the world around them as something that they can control, and they feel like they can influence many aspects of their world. Now, it's important to recognise that this is not necessarily a good versus bad thing. This is not that having an external locus of control is bad, whereas having an internal locus of control is good. Instead, it's more about where your focus is. What I mean by that is, we need to honestly recognise what is not within our control, what is within our control, and consciously choose how to respond. For example, I can't control whether my child speaks rudely to me, but I definitely can control how I respond to it. I can't control if I'm stuck at home during a lockdown in a pandemic, but I definitely can control my actions, how I think about the situation, how I treat others, and how I take care of myself and my feelings. So you need to recognise that there can be lots of things that are within your control, even in the most out of control situations. So if we recognise the things that we can control, then we recognise that we can implement strategies for self-care. Now I want to present to you some ideas that I find useful with regard to self-care. And these ideas are taken from what Dr. Dan Siegel refers to as the healthy mind platter, an idea that was presented in a similar manner to the healthy eating pyramid. However, instead of focusing upon what foods we should eat to stay healthy, these are mental activities necessary for optimum mental health in daily life. Number one is focus time. This is our work that's often necessary as part of our day. This is when we focus on tasks in a goal-oriented way. This is mental exercise that is good for us. If you don't work regularly, then you can be doing other goal-oriented work such as Sudoku, crosswords, or solitaire. Number two is physical time. This is aerobic exercise, and this is an excellent way to reduce stress levels and generally improve your health. Number three is playtime. This is when we allow ourselves to be spontaneous or creative. We could be involving others in this, such as going on the trampoline with the kids, or kicking a ball with the kids, or playing board games. Or it could be stuff that you do by yourself, such as drawing or colouring. At number four, we have connecting time. This is connecting with those around us in a deliberate manner through time, activities, or conversation. If you can't do this physically in a face-to-face manner, then phone calls, Zoom, FaceTime, they're all good enough. Additionally, this can also be connecting with the natural world, whether that just be sitting on your deck, in your backyard, or in a park, or it can be something more physical like gardening. Number five is time in. This is when we reflect internally, focusing on sensations, images, feelings, and thoughts. For time in, we might deliberately practice some meditation or relaxation strategies. There are so many good apps out there that can guide you through this kind of thing in as little as 5 minutes a day. My favourite is Headspace, but the Calm app is another good option. Number six is downtime. This is non-focused, no specific goals. Our mind can wander or simply relax. This might be the time when we're watching the latest Netflix series. We could also spend time in the shower or in the bath for downtime. Remember, it's the intention with which you do something that can make all the difference. Lastly, we have sleep time. This is when we rest and recover. It's important to recognise how deeply our routines can deeply impact this one. Importantly, we need to ensure we have a good wind-down routine and make sure screen time is finished at least an hour before bed. Now, the way that you schedule in or prioritise these seven aspects will be different for everyone. There's no specific recipe for a healthy mind, as everyone is different and our needs change over time too. The point is to become aware of the full spectrum of essential mental activities, and just like ensuring we have a healthy diet, we can make sure that at least every day we're nudging the right ingredients into our mental diet, even for a little time. If you can manage to include each of these seven activities in your day, even if you're just doing your regular tasks with a different intention, you're going to be well on your way to good self-care, which will mean you are more likely to be practicing good parenting skills and you'll be modelling good self-care and self-regulation strategies for your children. So we've covered a fair bit today in a short time. We've covered why self-care is important, why being able to recognise what we can and can't control is important, and I've provided an overview of the seven aspects of the healthy mind platter. In our next episode of Parenting Conversations, I plan on going a bit further with self-care. I want to talk you through how you might be able to practice self-care if you're feeling like you're struggling a bit more, and you feel like you're doing the tasks I've just mentioned, but you feel like you just need something more. So I hope you'll join me for the next episode of Parenting Conversations.